You're listening to Your World Today on Radio Islam International. We're joined on the line by Dr. Yuri Davis. He's of Dr. Yuri Davis is of Jewish origin, grew up in the Israeli locality of Kfar, and has been involved in various activities. He's now guest of BDS and other Palestinian solidarity groups in the country for Israeli Apartheid Week. We welcome Dr. Yuri onto the line. Good evening to you and welcome to the program.
Good evening. Please allow me. I'm the guest of two parties, the BDS South Africa and the Embassy of Palestine in South Africa. So okay. Both the embassy and the BDS.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Now, Dr. Yuri, growing up as a kid in the Israeli locality of Kfar Shomaria.
You get your tongue twisted.
Yes, it's a difficult one. Did you ever think back then that you'd grow up fighting for Palestinian rights?
Well, I must admit that I became aware of my situation inside apartheid Israel only in the latter years of my adolescence. You see, paradigm of education, implicit and explicit, if you go through kindergarten, elementary school, secondary school in the Hebrew institutions of apartheid Israel, is that in order to be a good Jew, you have to be pro-Zionist or pro-Israel or pro, quote-unquote, Israeli democracy, which is not a democracy, it's an apartheid inherent form democracy. And if you are an anti-Zionist, then you are a bad Jew. So a good Jew is pro-Zionist, and a failing Jew is an anti-Zionist is a failing Jew. It was only in my latter adolescence that I progressively became aware that there was something wrong with the system, and initially refused compulsory military service, and also that took place in stages. Kfar Shomaria'u is situated next to the beach of the Mediterranean Sea, and it's less than a half an hour's walk for us kids to walk across from our home to the beach. And on the edge of the beach there stands a mosque. And the equation, to be a good Jew means to be pro-Zionist, to be anti-Zionist means anti-Jewish, namely anti-Semitic, it's only in retrospect that I realize how effective it was, because we passed by the mosque in summer holidays and other holidays almost daily, and we were blind to the significance of the mosque. You don't have a mosque unless it's within the community. And where is the Muslim community of Haram Sayyidina Ali? Kfar Shomaria'u has been settler colonial locality has been established mostly on lands of Haram Sayyidina Ali, and the people of Haram Sayyidina Ali have been ethnically cleansed of the locality, and yet we walked by the mosque almost daily and were blinded to that reality. So no, becoming aware of the ethnic cleansing of Palestine that took place under the cover of the 1948-49 war, and the structures of apartheid Israel that led to the ghettoization of the surviving Palestinian community in South Israel, and has led to the confiscation or by military orders and other pieces of legislation, resulting in 93% of the territory of 1948 Palestine, Israel proper, so to speak, 93% being reserved in law for Jews only. The awareness of this ugliness and criminality became progressively clearer in a process that required decades for completion. Basically, two or three decades before I was fully aware of the criminality against humanity that took place under the guise of Israeli claim to be the only democracy in the Middle East. And it is only in the mid-70s that I projected myself as thoroughly anti-Zionist and pro-Palestinian, and the road was then clear for me to join the PLO, the Palestine National Council, and the Fatah.
Yeah, so it has been a unique journey for yourself, Dr. Yuri. Now,
unique journey for myself, but I'm not the only one. Mm. Like, in parallel to South Africa, the mainstream of white society in South Africa in the decades of apartheid was pro-apartheid. It was only at the margin, maybe 1 or 2 or 3% at the margin, that took a similar journey and either joined democratic formations in South Africa or joined the ANC and other South African liberation movements. But the primary movement won the ANC under the leadership of Nelson Mandela. 1-3% at most in South Africa, 1-3% at most inside the Hebrew society of apartheid Israel.
Now, one of the issues that we'd like to clear the air, something that is very frequently repeated, and we keep hearing that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. Is this the case, or is this part of the propaganda?
It's a lie. It's simply and plainly a lie. You see, the core of South Africa in the decades of apartheid focused on control of land and subsoil. And that is indeed the primary object of settler colonialism. Alienating the patrimony of the indigenous people and confining them or removing them, or in the case of North America, eliminating them by genocide and securing control of the territory in law and in practice for the white settler community. Now, that core has been the core of apartheid in South Africa and the core of apartheid in Palestine. I said 93% of Israel proper, so to speak, is reserved in law, and I repeat again and again and again, in law, not just in practice, in law for Jews only, the apartheid divide being between Jew and non-Jew, not between Jew and Arab, between Jew and non-Jew, and under the classification of non-Jew, the first candidate is the Arab indigenous people of Palestine. And in South Africa, between quote-unquote white and non-white. In South Africa, in law, the settler colonial apartheid government reserved 87% for whites only, quote-unquote, and 13% were allowed to the indigenous people in Bantustan. So that is the core. But the apartheid sovereign in Palestine, the apartheid sovereign in Israel, governed by the apartheid parliament known as Knesset, was much more skilled, sir, in veiling the core. Whereas in South Africa, friends tell me that in the decades of apartheid, hit people in the face immediately upon touchdown of aircraft or arrival of the boat in any one of the ports with queues for whites, quote-unquote, and queues for non-whites, transport for whites, transport for non-whites, toilets for whites, toilets for non-whites, public places for whites, public places for non-whites. In apartheid Israel, the sovereign legislator has been much more careful, and much more careful, shall I put it, to refrain from petty apartheid. So there are no, you touch down at Lida Airport, there are no queues for Jews and queues for non-Jews, no toilets for Jews and toilets for non-Jews, no separate transport for Jews and separate transport for non-Jews. The legislator attempted as much as possible to refrain from petty apartheid, so there's no petty apartheid at surface, no segregation at surface, the only democracy in the Middle East. But I doubt that when visitor groups arrive in Israel and go through the airport and then are taken on a tour, let's say, into the city outskirts or rural areas, and the tour might include a visit in one of the forestation projects of the Jewish National Fund, named after South Africa. The South Africa, Jewish National Fund South Africa Forest, which has now been renamed the Lavi Forest, where the leader of the group would take them a few meters away from the non-segregated recreational area in the forest and point to the ruins of the ethnically cleansed Palestinian Arab village of Lubia, where all of a sudden you see patches of olive trees under, surrounded by conifers planted by the Jewish National Fund in order to veil the ruins of the village. So at the recreational ground, there's no segregation between Arab families and Jewish families. But that apparent non-segregation at the skin hides a crime against humanity of ethnic cleansing and reducing the inhabitants of Lubia, expelled inhabitants of Lubia, to stateless refugees or for outside of Israel proper or to internally displaced persons inside Israel proper. So the veiling plays a very important role in the construction of the lie of Israel being the only democracy in the Middle East. The reality at core is that after the demise of apartheid in South Africa, Israel remains the only remaining member state of the United Nations organization that is an apartheid state and should be subject to the measures enshrined in the International Covenant for the Suppression and Punishment of the Crime of Apartheid, just as apartheid South Africa was subject to the measures of this covenant to the benefit of all parties concerned, I would add.
A very detailed answer, giving us great insight. Now, one of the frequently asked Zionist questions, and maybe you can help us answer this one, and it's why do Palestinians seek to destroy Israel's Jewish charter by insisting on the return to their homes in Israel? How do you respond to that?
You have to repeat the question, because I don't know what you refer to with a Jewish charter.
Frequently asked Zionist questions that people ask, that comes from that side, and we are requested to respond to, is that why do Palestinians seek to destroy Israel's Jewish charter by insisting on their return to their houses in Israel?
Allow me attempt a reformulation. The Zionist claim with which I'm familiar is that the implementation of the fundamental rights of Palestine refugees to return back to the areas out of which they were ethnically cleansed would entail the destruction of the Jewish state. Would that be an approximate formulation of the question?
Yes.
Well, it would not end with the destruction of the Jewish state, except in a Zionist interpretation. The Zionist interpretation of a Jewish state is a state with a demographic majority for Jews secured in law. Now, any state attempting to secure in law a demographic majority of any constituency is an apartheid state by definition. No, all that would result of the return of the families of that has been ethnically cleansed in 1948 is not the destruction of the state of Israel. It's the destruction of apartheid in Israel.
So we appreciate you unpacking that common...
The state of Israel can claim legitimacy as a Jewish state on the basis of UN General Assembly Resolution 181, which partitioned the country of Palestine into three segments, an Arab state, a Jewish state, and a separate zone, corpus separatum, of the city of Jerusalem under UN administration. Now, what happened was that the Zionist invasion of Palestine and the establishment of the state of Israel unilaterally in 1948 ended up with the Jewish state, first of all, occupying territories well beyond the territories allocated for the Jewish state in that resolution, and second, violating every... I would really urge our listeners to download the UN General Assembly Resolution 181 on the question of Palestine and read it from top to bottom, not just the title. Top to bottom, the State of Israel has violated every significant clause in that resolution. The United Nations did not recommend ethnic cleansing of Palestine. The United Nations did not recommend demographic Jewish majority state. Jerusalem is not the capital of the Jewish state, etc., etc., etc. What the establishment of the State of Israel in political Zionist interpretation, in apartheid interpretation, is a flagrant violation of the term of the UN resolution. So all one needs to respond is, okay, we have no problem with the definition of Israel as a Jewish state, but only in UN, United Nations interpretation, not in apartheid political Zionist interpretation. Your Jerusalem is not your capital, full stop. And you are not allowed by UN resolution and international law to attempt to secure in law a demographic majority of Jews. Your Jewish state as conceived by the United Nations is a binational state. So, again, don't abuse the narrative, don't project lies, adhere to international law, and if you want a Jewish state, only in terms of the United Nations, not in terms of criminal apartheid.
There's a great service that you are rendering, Dr. Yuri, in terms of the position that you come from and the type of sentiment that you are able to echo under those circumstances. We appreciate you chatting to us and clearing these misconceptions, equipping the listeners and also educating them. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to address your audiences and revolution until victory.
Thank you. Bye. Go well. Yuri Davis speaking to us about Israeli Apartheid Week and also the issue of Israel being the only democracy in the Middle East.